All right, we're starting 11 lines down on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. We're continuing with the sugya. The Gemara over here at this point is discussing the supposed stira between our Mishnah, right? Then the conclusion of the inference from our Mishnah and the Mishnah further on in the Masechta about what is the status of an item when a person completes the job or says that they're done with what they are supposed to be doing. So the Gemara wanted to be dayik from our Mishnah that if a Uman said, Gemartiv, I finished it, that would not be sufficient to discharge him from being a Shomer Sachar. It's only when he comes and says, Tula Shalcha, come pick it up, that allows him to remove his status as a Shomer Sachar. The Gemara says, no, that it is, Enochanami, that it is good. Saying Gemartiv is enough. Why didn't our Mishnah mention that? That would have been a bigger chiddush for our Mishnah to mention. Where it says, it's trichalei that we needed it to tell a tul shalcha. Because we don't say tul shalcha is even less, meaning that he's not chayiv anything. So that teaches us he's still a shomer chinam, even when he says tulet shalcha. So we're going to start with huna bar mereimar. So huna bar mereimar kameid ravina, rami masnizan ahadadi. He questioned, he brought the two Mishnayot, our Mishnah, right, and the Mishnah further on, and he questioned them, Mishani, and he solved it, or he solved the problem. Tnan, v'chulam shemru, tula shecha, vavet ma'ot shomer chinam. Then anybody who says, come pick your stuff up and pay me, then he's a shomer chinam. V'hu adin gemartiv. And the way he solved the steer between the Mishnayot is to say that that is the same din by gemartiv, like we've been saying until now, that gemartiv will create the same thing. Viriminhu, where it says, challenges him from that. Amarlo Shoel. If the Shoel, the borrower, says to the lender, Shlach v'shalcha, right? He says, send it to me v'shalcha, and he sent it umeita, and it dies on the way. Chayav, he's responsible v'chein b'sha'ashe machzira. In the same time when he returns it, so it sounds like even when he's returning it, right, it is classified as, or he's still classified as a Shoel in the process of returning it. So how can you say when you say gimartiv, I finished with it, that's enough to make him into a Shomer Chinam, and here is Shoel, who's sending it back already. He's completely finished with it, and yet he is still held accountable or liable for this item. Umashani, and he answered, based on the qualification that we had on this Mishnah yesterday, Amar Avraham Bar Pop, Amar Rav Chisto, Lo Shanu El Sheyachzir B'toch Yimei She'elata, that the only time he'll remain responsible is if he's returning it within the period of time of the loan. Because within that period, he's still responsible until it reaches the lender's hand. There you can't say gemartiv. V'lach yimei she'elata patur. But after the time that he borrowed it, then he is patur, because he's no longer a shoel on the object. So therefore, it'll be the equivalent of gemartiv, right? That it's similar to the completion of gimartiv, and therefore he will be patur when he returns it at that time. So Gemara says, Ibailhu. Now, that patur that we just said is that patur mishoel v'chayav kishomer sachar. Meaning that, what is he now? Once he's completed the period of time where he is the shoel, so he's no longer chayav in otzin. That's a given, because he's not a shoel anymore. But his degraded status, what is his degraded status now? Is he a shomer sachar? And he'll be chayav in Gneva and Aveda, or Dilma Shomer Sachar Nami Lavi. Maybe he's not even a Shomer Sachar, maybe he'll simply be a Shomer Chinam, and he won't be chayav for Gneva Uva Aveda. So Amar Meimar, Mistavra Patur Mishoel V'chayav Kishomer Sachar. Says that it's logical to say that he's Patur from being a Shoel, but chayav for being as a Shomer Sachar. Why? Hoel V'nehaneh Mehaneh Havo. Right, so that he, because She'ilah. The whole reason you're chayv ba'onsin by She'ilah is why? Because you get the full benefit of the object. You're being lent the object, giving no compensation back. So since you get the full hana of the object, that's why the Torah obligates you in onsin in that instance. So again, the fact that you were given such a hana by the lender, you're reciprocating by giving the hana of taking care of this item like a shomer sachar. Or that hana, right, in a sense, is compensation for you being a shomer. And since you have compensation for your watching of the item, therefore you are qualified or classified as a shomer sachar. So you degrade from being a shoel down to being a shomer sachar. So Tanya Kavasa de Meimar, we have a price that supports this conclusion of a Meimar. Someone purchases utensils, some sort of items from the craftsman that he's going to send to his future father-in-law's house. right, or that is possibly a Yerusin already, so he's sending it a Savlonot, excuse me, he wants to send gifts to his father-in-law. V'amarlo, imi kablim otam mimeni, ani noten lechad mehem. He says that if they accept the gifts from me, I will pay you for these items. V'imlav, if not, ani noten lechad lefi tovat hana shebehen. If not, I won't pay you for the items, because I'm not keeping them, but I will pay you for the benefit of my showing that I cared and sending the gifts. And we've seen this before, that the giving of a gift itself, right, might be some form of hana, that giving of the gift has an intangible or a tovat hana that's associated with it. So even when you invite somebody over to your house, even if they don't come, you've gained some sort of tovat hana by the mere fact that you've invited them and you've shown them that you care. So to over here, the fact that he sent the gifts, even though they don't necessarily accept the gifts, the fact that he now presented them with gifts is a benefit. And he said, I'll compensate you for that hana. Right? If they get taken on the way, they are ruined on the way, chayav, he's responsible to them. B'chazira, patur. Because on the way back, he's patur. Mishpatei shukun nasis sachar. On the way back, he is a shomer sachar. So what it shows here, what this braisa shows, is that on the way, when he's sending the gifts, on the way, he is a shoel, right? Or even more than a shoel, we'll see, then he's chayav. And then on the return, once the gifts are rejected, then he becomes a shomer sachar. So you see the termination of his sheila turns him into a shomer sachar. And again, it's the same case. It's even actually a better case here, which is he's actually compensating for the tovat hana. Over here by the shoel, we say it's because ho'el mahaneh, right? Because he, ho'el b'naneh, mehaneh, since he got benefit, he'll get back benefit. Over here, the individuals agreed to compensate for that hana. He says, I'm going to pay you for the tovat hana. And nevertheless, he's still a shomer sachar. So certainly in our case of sheila, where there is no compensation being exchanged, and there, certainly, he is, when he classified as a shomer sachar, right, after a determination of his being a shoel. Now, the reason as to why he's chayav and onsin on the way, Rashi writes, it's interesting, Rashi writes, Dehoyo v'katzatz d'mehem. Since they set the price today, umashkan l'shem l'kicha, umashkan, and he took a mishicha, he made a kinyon on them, l'shem kili l'kicha, in order to purchase them, so Rashi basically says here is that there is a kinyan mishicha now. There is a purchase of the item today. He owns the item today. And there is a ability to return the item to him and get your cash back. So therefore, if it was Nansu and you can't, you know, to return the item, then you can't get your cash back. Now, once that determination is made that you have to return it and the guy can get it back, then on the way back, already it's his item. And when it's his item, you're a shomer sachar on his item. Again, either way, it's not a simple understanding or formulation of why he is responsible over here. I would have rather said that the issue is that he's a shoel. He's actually borrowing the items until he gets to the... What Josh is saying is that it's a kinyan al tanai. And a kinyan al tanai is that the kinyan today, there's a fully fledged kinyan, and then there's just a condition that has to be filled for the tonight to be in effect, but that would make it retroactive, the mafreya, that the kinyan is from today, from this moment, right? So that, right, the kinyan won't have to be deferred. If it's not deferred, then that's fine. The kinyan today is sufficient if it's a kinyan al tanai. I think that's right. Again, I would have possibly formulated that he's a shoel. Why not just say that he's borrowing the item, right, until it gets there? If they accept it when it gets there, right, then he pays for it, and he gave him kesef, and he set a price, then he becomes the owner of it. So that's why he's chayav, and then on the way back, right, he's terminated his period of she'ilah, and now he becomes a shomer sachar. So I don't know, I think you could have formulated it that way, that he's a shoel and then a shomer sachar. The Rashi seems to say that he's a full kinyan, and then he becomes lokeach here on the way. And I guess by being a lokeach on the way, then he becomes responsible for the item, because he can't get his money back unless he returns the item. All right. Oh, gavra, dezavin lechamra lechavre. So this person purchased a donkey for his friend. I'm like, ka mematina le the duchta ploni. Right, so I'll take it to this location. Again, here it could be, I guess, wine as well. Although from the Gemara's later on, it seems like the word chamra here in this section of the Gemara has been used as a donkey. Right, so he could go. He says, I'm going to take it to this place to sell it. Im is davna mutav. If I'm able to sell it there, good. V'lo mahadron le nialach. If I don't, I'll return it to you. So now, in this, Azal, Veloiz Dabna, he went and he was unable to sell it. Ubahadid ka'ata itnis. On the way back, there was an ones. So after the Kamei Rav Nachman, he came before Rav Nachman and he made him Chayav. So this would go against the Braisa that we just brought and against the Meimar's position. Nachman's passing, even on the way back, you're Chayav for own sin. So the Eitvei Rabbi Rav Nachman, then Subalicha Chayav, Ubchazara Patur, Mipneshu Nase Sachar. So at this point, he's a Shomer Sachar. Why should be Chayav in own sin? So what are you going to do with this Braisa now you're passing over here? Amalei Chazara Dahai Alichahi. This person on the way back looks like he's on his way. Why is that? My time was varu bechazerito ilishkach lezbune milo zavno. He's always looking to sell it. If he finds anybody to sell it to on the way back, he'll be just as happy as on the way. And so for him, the entire higher thing is on the way, because until he comes back and hands the item back to the individual, he's willing to sell it. So there is no chazara for him. There's only halicha, and halicha is until he returns and hands it back to the individual. So that's why it'll be chayav for unseen here, even on the return trip. Tosfos points out, you have to say over here, if it was difficult to sell the item, right, meaning that he went to this new location, it was difficult for him to sell, then how do we say that the hana is all the benefit of the person who's selling it? Sounds like the owner is also getting a benefit if he's actually able to sell it. Sounds like it's an item that's not easy to sell. Since it's not easy to sell, if he actually sells it, then the seller will also be excited about the sale because he'll get it off his hands. Because as you see that from the mere fact that he went to the new location and he was unable to sell it. So it sounds like it was merchandise that was not easy to dispose of. The Tosa says, no. Now, truthfully, this is an item that would sell easily at the price that this individual bought it from the owner. The problem is that this individual now has to mark up the item to sell it in order to make a profit above, right, what the owner has offered him. So since he's now buying it at market, he's got to sell kind of a little bit above market to get his, or to above his costs in order to get to sell it. And that situation doesn't sell easily. So therefore, the owner, it's fine, he could sell it at that price. Now, if that's the case, why doesn't he just sell it wherever he goes? He couldn't get the extra money. So why doesn't he just sell it there instead of having to drag it all the way back and at least get his costs out and be break even on the whole trip? So Tosfos says that on the way back, he figures, look, the worst case scenario is I take it home, I can sell it at that price at home. So my best scenario is that on the way back, I might find somebody who's willing to pay for it. So it's worth it for me to hang on to it. Maybe someone will pay the higher price, right, until I get home. And then once I get home, I can sell it at this price or hand it back to him. So I don't lose by taking it back. And that's why he's really responsible the whole way, because it's exactly what he's doing. He's looking for that individual who paid the extra price on the way back. Right now, Gemara continues. Shmorli veshmor lecha shomer sachar. So this bartering of shmirah makes a person into a shomer sachar, even though there's not monetary compensation, but there is, right, equivalent compensation or effective compensation by being a shomer for each other. V'amai says why shmirah bebalim hi. That's shmirah with the balim. So now, even though in the psukim in the Torah, right, it says by a shoel im balav imbo. If the balim are with him, then he doesn't have to pay. So that's in the Torah, that pasuk is specifically by Shoel. But nevertheless, the Gemara is going to say, we're going to get to it in 2 weeks or so. Gemara there, it tells us that has a broader application to all the Shomrim. That all the Shomrim in Balavimo, at the time, then the person is Patur. So over here, you have exactly that situation, the Balimimo. You watch for me, I watch for you, they're doing it right together. And the Balim are present when he is right doing the Shmirah, beginning the Shmirah. He's there with him. So why should it be Chayabs? Amar Baba, no. Damar Leh, Shmor Leh Ayom, Mer Shmor Lecha Machar. It's easy, all you have to do is separate out the Shmirah. Not say that I'm watching this for you here while you're watching that for me there. In that we're not creating a transaction or barter that's immediately effective for both of us. No, we're having a barter exchange where one of us is taking on the responsibility now and the other is going to take the responsibility tomorrow. So therefore, now we've separated out the Balim doing work for me and doing work for you. When we get there, we'll discuss the svara or the logic behind why it is when Balavimo, right, there is a tour of Shmirah, that we'll discuss there. Just like a little touch of it when we get there, a little feel for what it'll be, is that a person cannot be Meshabim himself to two sides at once. I mean, a person can't both be an Adon and a Shomer, and then the other side be an Adon and a Shomer at once. That means that you can't create those dual relationships with the same object. Right, right. He's totally put to. We'll see in a second. Rashi, if you see over here, it says, Right? We're going to see in a second that there's other. Here we're talking about Shmirah. Says a Shmor Li Ayom, a Shmor Lecha Machar. So here he's clearly not a Shomer Sachar. He might be a Shomer Chinam. Dan Rabbanan, Shmor Li Veshmor Lecha. Hishilani Veshilcha, lend me and I'll lend you. Shmor Li Veshilcha, watch this for me and I'll borrow from you. Hishilani Veshmor Lecha. Klan Nasu Shomer, Shomer Sachar Zilazet. Each of them is a Shomer Sachar. Because in each of these instances, a person is providing a Hana. Right, either by lending him something he's providing an or by watching for him he's creating an or. Thank you. So why is that true? Right, that Shmira Babalim, same question that we had on our Mishnah. So Amar Papa, Damar Lei, Shmor Lei Ayom, Shmor Lecha Machar. Right, watch for me today and I'll watch for you tomorrow. So now again, over here, this answer is only sufficient. The question is really only in the case of Shmira. In the case of Shoel and Shmira, then that can't be the issue. So the Rashi points out, if you look in Rashi, he says, Shmor li v'yashmor lecha kai, sh'shneim zeh b'mlachto shel zeh. Aval hishani kelecha, v'ani yashel lecha kelai, shmor li v'yashel lecha, oh, yashel leni v'yashmor lecha, ein kan balim, shel chayfetz b'mlachto shel shomer. Over there, at the exchange, you're not doing the same work or the same equivalent item. So over there, the Gemara does not have a question about balavimo. The question of Bala Vimo on this Braisa is simply on the one case of Shmor Li Ve'esh Mordecha. Right, Rashi seems to indicate, no. Aval, Hishalani Kelecha, Vani Yeshalacha Klaya, Shmor Li Ve'eshalcha, Hishalani Ve'eshmordecha, Inkan Balim, Shalchevitz Melachto Shal Shomer.
There are other Rishonim who disagree with Rashi, and actually when the din is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Hei, Sivav, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Omer Chavero, Shmor Li Veshmor Lecha, or is it Shmira Bebalim? And the Ramah over there says, V'yesh Omrim, Duhu Adin, Hishilani Veshulcha. So that's premised on those Rishonim that disagree with Rashi, like the Mordechai, and the Rosh, and the Ravan, that all seem to disagree with Rashi's position that Hishilani Veshulcha is not classified as Shmira Ba'alim, or it's not a question of Shmira Ba'alim. The Tiva, the Mishpat there, explains what the difference or the argument between Rashi and these other Rishonim is about of Shoel is that in general we view a Shoel. Why is a Shoel Chayiv and Onzim, or why does it become a Shoel? Because a Kol Ha'anah Shelo. All the benefit goes to him. So when all the benefit goes to him, then he's classified as a Shoel. If all the benefit doesn't necessarily go to him, meaning that there's some sort of trade-off, then he wouldn't be classified as a Shoel. So that's what they're arguing about here. When the Shoel is guarding the item or taking care of the item, why is he doing this? So if you believe that he's doing it because he wants to make sure that he can use this item and all the hanas for himself, then he's classified as a Shoel. On the other hand, over here, if he's watching the item not just because all the hana is for himself and he wants to get it because he also wants the other individual to take care of his item, or there's some sort of interaction between them, then he doesn't become a full-fledged shoel because not kol hana shelo. So that would be the explanation of Rashi's shita. The problem with Rashi's shita is that we're going to see on the second half of today's daf that there are actually cases where the Gemara seems to say a case of Hishilani Vishilcha, and the Gemara asks, why isn't it classified as Shmir Valim? It's a case where someone borrows a shirt, switches shirts with each other. There, the Gemara seems to think that that is a problem of Shmira Babalim.
Hanei Olai, so these aloe providers, the Chol Yom Ahava Afila Chad Minayu, they used to take turns, and each day one of them would bake or cook the aloe to ready it for sale. How Yom Amrule the Chad Minayu, one day they said to one of the individuals, Zoil Afilon, right, go and bake the aloe for us. So the assumption here of the Gemara at this point is that he is. it's his turn to bake. Amar lahu, naturally glimai adata. Watch my coat for me. While I go bake, you watch my coat for me. Adata pashuba. By the time he came back, they were pusheya and it ve'ignov, and it was stolen. His coat was stolen. So they were pushim and it was stolen. Ata the kamei de Rav Papa. They came before Rav Papa. Chayvinu. He made them chayav. So amrule rabban and the Rav Papa amai. Pshia bebalim he. It's pshia with balavimo. Pshia bebalavimo is patur. So let's feed to your question. How patur are you when balavzimo? Is that even with pshia over here? Right, the Gemara is assuming that you would be patur. Ichsif. Rapapa was embarrassed because enochanami, this is balavimo, and why should they be chayav? Why? Why is it balavimo? Because it was his turn to bake the aloe. They all take turns baking the aloe, which is basically a bartering of services that they work together. And therefore, when he goes out to bake the aloe, he's working for them in that instance, he's working for them, or he's doing work for them in that case. And therefore, when he left his jacket with them, it was balavimo, because they were involved in the same melacha, but involved in something that they are joint partners in this type of melacha. So Rav Papa was embarrassed for the fact that he paskened incorrectly in this instance. Sofi glay milsa daushata shichra havo kashati. So at that moment, they checked into it. They looked into it a little further, and they realized that he went to drink beer. Since he went to drink beer, he was not involved in the melacha. So now, Rashi points out over here, it's very, very interesting. Rashi says that that's only true that if he goes to drink beer first and then goes to work. So if he drinks beer first, that means that he's not involved in the work that is jointly amongst them. And therefore, when they started the shmirah of the coat, he wasn't involved in the melacha, right, that there was jointly among them. And therefore, he's patur. But if he went to work and then afterwards went to drink beer, and it was stolen when he was drinking beer afterwards, that won't help him. Why? Because the shmirah started when he was involved in the melacha. So it's not about necessarily that at the time it's stolen he's involved in the melacha, but it has to be that the creation of the shmirah involves bala bimo. So that'll be true only if he starts the melacha right away. But if he doesn't start the melacha right and goes to drink beer first, then the start of the shmirah was not coinciding with his beginning of the shmirah, the beginning of the melacha. It would be chayiv in this instance for being posheya by the coat. So Mara says, and this again to Tzvi, your question, what happens when a person balavimo, how chayav a patur are you? So here the Gemara just says, anichu the mandam er pshia bebalim patur. That's good according to one who says when balavimo includes even pshia that you're patur. That's why he was embarrassed. So the mandam er chayav, according to one who says that when it's pshia bebalim, you're chayav, amai ichsif. Why was he embarrassed? Over here they're pshia. So even though balavimo, if they're pshia, he's still chayav. If he's chayav, then why? Right? Did Rav Papa get embarrassed? He gave the right psak, because balavimo will have no relevance over here. Zela hau yoma lav didei havo. So Gemara changes the assumption today. Today was not his day to bake. It wasn't his day in the rotation to bake. Ba'amrule lididei zil afilon. So they said to him, go bake for us. At ba'amar lahu, and he said to them, ba'u agra tekafina lechu natura gilumai. Says, okay, fine, it's not my day to bake, but I'm going to bake for you. As compensation for the baking, please watch my coat. So ad igniv. Before he came, it was stolen. So over here, the pshia is left out. Right? No pshia here, but ad igniv. Ad klamei rapapa chayvinu. They came for rapapa, and he was mechayiv them. Earlier, rabban rapapa. Shmira babalim. This is a case of shmira babalim because he's going to go to. They basically set up a situation where he's going to go do the work and they're going to watch the item for him. Ichsif, he was embarrassed. So he went out again and drank beer. So again, at the time that the shmira was set into place, he was not involved in melacha or his side of the melacha, which is equivalent to Rav Papa's answer before. Remember when you say Shmor Levi, Shmor Lecha, it's only when they are coincident, when they are at the same time the Shmirah begins, is that classified as Balavimo. But if the deal is I do it for you today and you do it for me tomorrow, that's not classified as Balavimo anymore, because they do not, at the time that you start your Shmirah, I'm not involved in the Shmirah, right, for the counterparty. And therefore it will not be classified as Balavimo.
Right.
Yeah. So in this. Right. So they amended the Gemara here. Amended. That's what I pointed out. It doesn't have pshia in this case. Pshia is left out of this case. It was ignav without pshia in this case. It was stolen without pshia. Right. The Gemara leaves out the word pshia, and since it leaves out the word pshia, then we're not involved in that machlokas anymore. And it's simply ignav. And then now they're making him into. They want it to be a shomer sachar because he's trading. He's bartering. Right. In the other instance, they were probably Shomer Chinam. They were probably Shomer Chinam because he said it was his turn to work. And he just says, watch this for me while I go to work. But he wasn't getting, right, there was no compensation because it was really his turn to work. Now, in this case, they're making him into a Shomer Sechar because he's trading, it's not his turn to work, and he's trading the value of working to be a Shomer Sechar. So then when you have a Shomer Sechar, you don't need Pshia to be Chayav. Right, by Shomer Chinam, you need Pshia to be Chayav. By Shomer Sechar, as soon as it's Ignav, that's already your Chayav. So that's what they've done. They changed the case to upgrade his Shmirah to Shomer Sechar, where Ignav will be sufficient if Pshia is not a relevant issue. Okay? Right, so now, Hanu Beitrei, these two individuals, Davukum Maske Borcha, they were walking on the way. Chad Arich, one of them was tall, Vachad Gutza, and one of them was short. Aricha Rachiv Chamo, the tall one was riding a donkey, Vavle Sadina, and he had a pishtan, he had a linen beged. Gutza Michse Sarvala, the short one was wearing a woolen beged, a woolen coat, Vachamaske Bekari, and walking on foot. Kimatul Naro, they came to a river. So now when you come to a river, linen garments don't absorb so much water, whereas woolen garments absorb a ton of water and become heavy. So shakle the sarvale, veltve loy chamro. So the shorter guy who was wearing the woolen coat took off his coat and placed it on the donkey in order to have the donkey carry that coat. The shakle the sedine, and then he took the linen garment, dahu, of the other individual, and he wore it. So now, basically what they did with exchange, it seems like they exchanged their coats over here in order to cross through the water, and that the one who was on the donkey would take the heavier item, and the one who was on foot would have the lighter item. Shatfua mai l'sidine, the water was rushing and washed away the siddin. Atal kamei d'rava, and chayve. Rava went ahead and said that he is chayav. So amalei rabban on the rava, mai she'ela b'balimi. What are you talking about? There's she'ela b'balim. And if Sheila Bibalim, it should be Patur. How you mechayiv him over here? Iksif, he was embarrassed. So, Iglai Milsa, the below date shakle, ulodate otve. So the Gemara says later on, more facts in the case came out. And those facts were that there was not an exchange of items here where both parties were aware of the exchange. This was a unilateral exchange by the individual. The individual was on foot, went ahead and placed the item on the other person's donkey. And then he took the sedin and he wore it without permission. Now, it's an interesting case. I'm not exactly sure what the circumstances were where he's taking the sedin of the other individual. It sounds from the beginning of the case that the individual, Rachel Rabbi, lay sedina. So he had a sedin. I guess now you have to explain that the sedin, he wasn't wearing it, but it was actually on the donkey. And since it was on the donkey, he pulled it off the back of the donkey and put his item on the back of the donkey, and the other individual was not aware of it. Seems to be a strange case, and because it's a strange circumstance, it wouldn't have been chayav, wasn't balavimo. If it wasn't balavimo, then Rava's psaka being chayav was actually correct. Right, we have one more case. Oh, Gavra de ugrele chamor lechavre purchased a chamor for his friend. Amalei chaze lo tizol ba'orcha denar pakut. Don't come back on the direction that you have to go through Nar Pakud, Dika Maya, because there's water. Zilba Archa Dinarsh, go in the Derech Anarsh, Deleka Maya, because there's no water in that way. Now, Azilba Archa Dinar Pakud, of course, he didn't listen, and he went on the Nar Pakud, Umit Chamra, and the donkey dies. Kiata Amar, when he came, he says, In, Barucha Dinar Pakud Azli, I went on Nar Pakud, Umi Aleka Maya, there was no water. Meaning that the donkey, I didn't follow your instructions, but nevertheless, the donkey didn't die because of what you considered to be the problem on this direction. So, Malava, Malay the Shakir. Right, what is Malay the Shakir? Why should he lie over here? He could have just said, I came on the other direction. Right, so if he came on the other direction, it would have been Patur. So, here he tells the truth that he came on the Nahar Pakud, right? He came still on Nahar Pakud, and there was no Maya. So, we're going to be and believe him because of Amigo, right? He had a better claim just to say, I came on that direction, and it would have been Patur anyway. So, now he's telling us the truth that he came on Nahar Pakud, but there's no Mayim. We should believe him. Mali Shakir. Ibai Amalei, Ana Borcha Dinarsh Azle. He could have said, I went on the way of Dinarsh. Mali Shakir, we don't say when there are Edim. What does that mean? There are Edim? Because over here, we're Anan Sade. That we are this Sheino to Aderech below Mayim, right? That this that way is not without water, right? So he is basically saying that the way of Nar Pakud didn't have Mayim on it, but we can go out and we see that the way does have Mayim on it. So there, you can't say Mali the Shakir. He's testifying to something that we have evidence against, right? So Mali Shakir is only when you have two equal claims, and in those two equal claims, both of them are their veracity can be. Or we can assume that they are truthful. Not where here, where there's a question to the veracity of his claim that there was no water on the Nar Pakud. We're looking out there, we see it's as if they're aiding that there's water there. So his claim is not necessarily a good claim according to Abaye. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. It says, Shmorli, watch it for me. Varmalo hanech lefanai, shomer chinam. He says, place it down before me. Then he is a shomer chinam. Amar Abuna, amar lo, hanech lefanecha, ein lo shomer chinam, velo shomer sachar. So that's only if he says, hanech lefanai, place it down in front of me. If you place it in front of me, that means, yes, I'm not a shomer sachar, but I'll watch it for you. Right? On the other hand, if he says, hanech lefanecha, leave it in front of you. Anach lefanecha, leave it in front of you. Ein lo shomer chinam, lo shomer sachar, is neither. Right, so now we have two extremes. We have Hanach lefanecha disengages him completely. It's like Tzvi comes to Josh, says, can you watch this for me? He says, you watch it, meaning that place it down in front of you, Tzvi. So he's basically telling him, I'm not taking it. So there he's totally disengaged. Right, then if he says Hanach lefanai, place it in front of me, Josh says, then Josh becomes a shomer chinam on it. That's because he says, you know, I'll watch out for it. I didn't accept to be a shomer sechar on it. Question is, now what if Minja says Hanach? Stamo. Without any modification of the fanecha, what's the status? So Gemara, of course, is going to try to be medayek. So Tashma Shmorli, Bomar, Lo, our Mishnah, Anach, Lefanai, Shomer Chinam. Astama, Veloklom. If he didn't modify it and say Lefanai, then it would be nothing. So Adarabba, Medam Ravuna, Anach, Lefanecha, Hu, Deino, Lo, Shomer Chinam, Lo, Shomer Sechar, Astama, Shomer Chinam, Abba. Then only when he said Anach, Lefanecha, is it not anything, he's totally disengaged. But if he said Anach, Stama, maybe we Shomer Chinam. I'm like, oh, look at the Mashmina. Okay, you can't be medayek. We have a deal in both directions. That doesn't help us. So let us say this is similar to a machlokas tanaim that we have. If mechnis b'shuto b'shut bala chatzer chayav, Rabbi Omer b'klom enu chayav b'shikvel ala bala bayit lishmor. So this is a mishnah that we had in Baba Kama. If you remember, Baba Kama, the individual is bringing a shor over to another person's field who is chatzer. He says, "Can I bring my shor into your chatzer?" He says, "Sure, bring in your shor into my chatzer." So when he says, sure, bring your shor into my chatzer, what does that mean? So the Rabbanan say, you know what that means? That means, bring it in and I'll watch it. That stam, bringing it in, or say, giving permission to access the chatzer, also means that I will watch it, because the stam chatzer is made to be shomer. That's what the point of a chatzer is, that I have a private property, and items that are inside the property are watched. When I give you permission to enter my property, I mean that I'm also going to watch your animal. I'm going to take care of your animal. Rabbi says, no. That when I give permission to come in, that's simply what I did. I gave you permission to enter. I did not take on responsibility to be shomer unless I explicitly state that I'm being shomer. So Gemara is suggesting over here that will be the same machlokas here by Hanach, Stama. When I say place it down, do I mean place it down? I'm giving you permission to place it here. And therefore, right, that's all I've done, like Rabbi. I'm giving you permission to place it. I'm not taking on Shemira. Or is this like the Chachamim, who say, when I give you permission to place something in my Chatzer, same thing here. When I say Anach, place it down, I'm also mean I'm taking on the responsibility of Shemira. Gemara says, Mimai, why do you have to say that these two cases are equal? Rabbanan might only say that, but you're talking about a chatzer is an area that is meant l'shmira. So when he says, bring it into my chatzer, it means bring it in and I'll watch it, because that is the understanding of what a chatzer is. Here we're sitting out in this shuk, and the individual's passing by says, oh, can you watch this for me? He says, put it down. We put it down. He says, so over there, labinaturihu, right? Anach v'tiv, right? Maybe it means place it down and you watch it, no problem, right? Meaning that the placement in the shuk, where the area is open and exposed, when he says place it down, he's not saying that I'm going to watch it, because, right, there is no implicit understanding that when I permit you to place it down here, that there's also shmirah that comes along. Inami, the other way around. Bayi is chatzer over there. You need specific permission to enter the chatzer. So therefore, that's when I ask for permission, that's exactly what I'm getting. Just permission to enter, not shmira. Right? The kabay, the mishko minei. B'chi yayiv le reshuta le'ulei. Right? So then when he gives him reshut to enter, tiv v'nata l'chakamar. He says, sure, bring it in, but you watch it. Aval hocha den hanach. Right, over here, when he says Hanach in the Shuk, Vana Mitrana Kamarle, when he says place it down, I'll watch it. Tisakadat Hanach Vativ Vinatar Kamarle, if he's saying put it down and I'll watch it, what type of permission do you need? Why is he asking this individual for permission to place his item down in the Shuk? placing his item down in the shuk he doesn't need permission for. So he doesn't need permission for it. It must be when he says and he responds, Hanach, place it down, that he's taking on the responsibility of Shmirah. That Lashon, otherwise Lashon is unnecessary. Right? To get permission to put it in the shuk, that I don't need permission for. So Gemara says from here we can't prove anything about this Hanach. Right, what the status of Zanach is, we tried to set up as a machloket tanaim, and we say that that's necessarily right muchrach. Right now, he'll vole a mashkon shomer sachar. If he lends him on a mashkon, he hears a shomer sachar. Lema matznisan t'lok Rabbi Elazar. Let's say our Mishnah is lot like Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Titania, a malvet chaber al mashkon. Person lends his friend on a collateral. Vavad a mashkon, and the mashkon is lost. Yishavav yital moutav. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That says, yo, take a shvu'ah, right, about the fact that he was not pusheya in this mashkon, and that he didn't not done by yad, right, and then he'll take his money, he'll get the rest of his money back, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Kivomer, yechod lomar la klom, he'll be tani, ela la mashkon. The reason that you lent me was because of the mashkon, meaning that you assumed, we'll say plinus in a second, bad mashkon, abad motecha. You can't bring me back the mashkon, you can't get your monies back. So this is Machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva right here, is a basic hakira and mashkon. Basic hakira and mashkon is what is the purpose of a mashkon? Is a mashkon just a zichron dvarim ba'alma? It's a item that reminds us that there is a loan in effect here. And this item will always give me the ability to go back and collect from you because I can show you that we have some sort of interaction between us. And it also remind you or ensure that you eventually will pay. So that's what it's a zichron dvarim ba'alma. That's what a mashkon is. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that a mashkon, right, is prepayment. The mashkon is actually payment for the loan. And then you have a buyback option on that mashkon. Truthfully, you've now repaid the loan with this mashkon. Now, on the other hand, you do have the ability to go repurchase. Part of our agreement is that you can come with, you come with the cash over a certain period of time, you'll be able to return or rebuy that mashkon. So if that's the case, right, then the mashkon is not functioning as a reminder, as a right, a trigger to establish payment, but rather it is the payment itself. So that will be the difference here between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says that a mashkon is simply zichron dvarim ba'almahi. Right? It's taken to remind us about the loan. It's not payment of the loan. And therefore, even though the mashkon is lost, the loan or the chob is still outstanding. So since the chob is still outstanding, you haven't repaid the loan, then you got to pay it if he takes the shvuah to the fact that he wasn't pusheya by the mashkon. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says no. He says that a mashkon is really payment of the loan. And therefore, if the mashkon is lost, right, then the payment was done with the mashkon. I have an ability to buy out that mashkon. I mean, I have the ability to bring my cash and purchase the mashkon back from you. But now there is no mashkon. So since there's no mashkon, I can't buy it back from you. I don't have any cash. I don't have to bring any cash to you. You got paid. You got your mashkon. You're paid. Now you want cash? You have to provide me the mashkon. I'm not going to provide you cash till you provide me the mashkon. So that's the way Rabbi Akiva views it. So that'll be the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. It's exactly in that issue about what is their view of what a mashkon is. Now, so the next line in the Gemara, Rashi reads simply as a continuation of the chakira that we just established, but that presents problems, and that's why you have a large tosus here that deals with Rashi's explanation. So we'll start with Rashi's explanation. Gemara says, Aval, hilfau elav zuz, he lent him 1,000 zuz, bishtar. But the documentation, v'niach lo mashkon aleihem, and he placed collateral on that. Everybody agrees that if the mashkon's lost, then his money's lost. So how would you explain that? Based on what we said so far, why is that? Why, right? We saw a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar agree in this case? Avad mashkon, avad levet. Right. You don't need any other proof. Exactly like Josh is saying. Why do you need the shtar? The shtar already accomplishes anything you'd want to accomplish with a mashkon. Right, before we said that a mashkon is zichron dvarim ba'alma, or it's evidence of the loan, and because of that, right, then the mashkon is not payment. But if I have an alternative to the mashkon, which is I have a shtar will give me better access to this individual. It's mishabed all this karkot. It's I don't need any more zichron dvarim ba'alma. Then it's clear that if in addition to that I take collateral, if I take in addition to that collateral, that means that I'm taking the collateral as payment. And even Rabbi Elazar will agree in that case that I'm taking it as payment. That's Rashi's explanation of our Gemara over here. So Tosfos takes issue with that. top Tosfos over here. Perish l'kach mo'der Rabbi Elazar mishum David lo shimshat halvato v'kani mashkon u'shtar nenakot lab davka l'omer dairin shloba shat halvato t'kevin shasa shtar mistam alo l'kach mashkon b'shat halva ad achreikein. So Tosfos says that the shtar here is not the issue. The shtar is indicative of when the mashkon was taken. He says, therefore, the resha, the first case, Machlokosin Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar, is when you take a mashkon, b'shat halva'at, the time of the loan. So that's where you have a machlokos, whether it's for compensation or for zichron dvarim ba'alma. But if you take a mashkon in the middle of the, after the loan is already outstanding, then it's clear in that instance you're taking the mashkon for compensation. Because if you wanted the zichron dvarim ba'alma, you should have done that up front. The fact that you didn't do it up front is already indicative, right, that the mashkon you're taking in the middle of the halva'ah is for payment. Why does the Gemara here express it as a shtar? Because a shtar, stam transaction, when you have a shtar, a person's not going to take a mashkon at the time of the loan because he already has the shtar there. And so that's indicative of the timing of the mashkon, not the competition between the shtar and the mashkon. So Tosa sets up the case here, it has to do with whether bishat halva'ah or shelo bishat halva'ah. Whereas Rashi seems to indicate that the problem is the shtar itself is the issue. Which makes it that the machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos will be actually at Bishat Halva'ah, at the time of the Halva'ah, if you have a shtar, according to Rashi, then even Rabbi Elazar in that case would agree that it's a mashkon for prepayment. Whereas Tosfos would say, even if you have a shtar, Bishat Halva'ah, nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar would still argue in that case and say that it's a zichron devarim ba'alma, because it's the timing of the mashkon which determines whether it's zichron devarim or payment, whereas and the shtar is simply an indication of when it is, but shtar has no relevance when it comes to what the mashkon is for. So that's the way Tosfos explains the Gemara as opposed to Rashi. And he says, but Tosfos, what Tosfos supposes has to do with Shemitah. Well, earlier on we talked about this. A person has a mashkon, right? The Shemitah is not mishamet the loan, because he's already tofes the mashkon. So now, if it's simply a zichron dvarim ba'alma, then a person's not to face the mashkon. But there's a tema. Dibur eisha lo nakat mashkon elu zichron dvarim ba'alma. Shem deleka shtara, because there's no shtar. Im kein, amai lo yeh mishamet. Why won't shmita be mishametet? Afilu sheveh mashkon keneged ma'utav. And even if the mashkon's equal to the full payment, the mashkon bezav. Dehechad lo nakat elu zichron dvarim ba'alma. If he only is carrying it for zichron dvarim ba'alma, the mishamet, then it's clear that then shmita will be mishamet. Over there, it's clear that it's not mishamet. So Tosfos says, how could you argue, according to Rashi, that if it's bishat halva'ah, right, that at the time of the loan, and there is
no shtar,
it becomes a zichron devarim ba'alma. And there, according to that, how can we say in all these cases of loans that the Gemara says it's not mishamet? How could you say that? According to Rashi, it's simply zichron dvarim ba'alma. But zichron dvarim ba'alma, it's clear that that doesn't help you, the gabei shmita. So that's Tosfos' main claim against Rashi. And because of that, he interprets the Gemara and he shows that the Bahag paskin in that direction. It's just indicative of shelo b'shat halva'ah. Because shat halva'ah, lokani anu dafke b'shtar. That only with a shtar at the time of the halva'ah are you not kona. Kevin deikah shtar lo samech hamashkon, ev l'shtara. Avo below shtar, afilu b'shat halva'ah, koni. Right, and he is kone Rabbi Shomer Sachar, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's what that Tosfos says. Tosfos says that by shat halva'ah, if there's no shtar, then Rabbi Eliezer will agree that it's considered a payment. It's only the combination of shtar and shat halva'ah where he classifies it as a zichron dvarim ba'alma. All right, so now the Gemara continues. Afilu teima Rabbi Eliezer. We can even include Rabbi Eliezer. Lo kasha. Kan shemashkano b'shat halvato. Kan shemashkano shelo b'shat halvato. Right, the difference is when he took the mashkon. Right, the difference between the brisa and our mishnah will be about when they took the mashkon. Right, the case of the brisa is a case where he took a b'shat halvato. Right, in that instance, that's where Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Our mishnah will be a case where he took a shelo b'shat halvato, and that's why the mashkon over here is a shomer sachar, because there he clearly took it as prepayment of the loan. Va'idi v'idi hilvel mashkon ktani. And over here, don't both cases say hivau ala mashkon, that he lent them on a mashkon, which means that the mashkon was present at the time of the loan. So if that's the case, ala mashkon is indicative, right, of what? Of shat halvato, both in our mishnah and in the brayso over here. Ela lo kasha kan shovau ma'ot Kan shilvo peirot. It has to do with what he lent him over here. Whether he lent him monies or he lent him peirot. Right, and we said this back on the Mishnah. There's a difference when he lends money. Right, you're not doing him any favor because you're taking the money from him and that's it. Then you have to pay it back later on. When you take the peirot from him, you're actually doing him a favor because peirot rot over time. They deteriorate. So the fact that you took the peirot off his hands and now you have to give him back peirot later on, you've actually benefited him. And in that benefit, you create the mashkon. Now you become a shomer sachar over the mashkon. Vaha miktani seifa. Now, basically what we're suggesting now is that our mission is peirot, and the brisa was ma'ot. So Rabbi Eliezer says, ma'ot, you're not a shomer sachar. Our mission, he says, you'll agree with our mission because that's peirot, and there you're shomer sachar. Mara says, how could you say that? Right? What does it say right afterwards? Miktani seifa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yuval ma'ot shomer chinam, yuval peirot shomer sachar. Michlau, that distinction does not exist. The Tana Kama lo shanile. It makes no difference. It says, no, kula Rabbi Yehuda, it's all Rabbi Yehuda. Our entire mission is Rabbi Yehuda, and it's missing some words here. When he lends on Shomer Sachar, he's a Shomer Sachar, but med, when is that true? When he lent him Peirot. Aval hilvo ma'ot Shomer Chinam. She Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hilvo ma'ot Shomer Chinam, hilvo Peirot Shomer Sachar. Mar says, ihochi, kamala mas nisun delok Rabbi Akiva. Now, by making the entire Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, then we have a Mishnah that's not like Rabbi Akiva over here. Because Rabbi Akiva would say, even by Ma'ot, you're a Shomer Sachar, not just by Peirot. Rabbi Akiva says, any Mashkon, that you are a Shomer Sachar right away. So if you're a Shomer Sachar right away, how can we set up the Mishnah not to be like Rabbi Akiva? Now we're setting up to be Rabbi Eliezer, but it's not like Rabbi Akiva anymore. And why does that matter? Because we know that Rabbi Akiva is the super author of all the different opinions. I mean, Rabbi Meir, Stam Rabbi Mishnah Rabbi Meir, right? Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Sifri Rabbi Shimon, Kulu are leaving to Rabbi Kiva. So if we have a Stam Mishnah, that it would technically be Rabbi Meir, and now it should be a leaving to Rabbi Kiva, or even if it's Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Sefer Rabbi Yehuda, and it's a leaving to Rabbi Kiva, how can we set it up that Rabbi Yehuda cannot, Rabbi Kiva can no longer fit into our Mishnah? So Mar says, Elam Vacharta, Masnisen Delo Ki Rabbi Eliezer. It's clear that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. By the way, and this is one of the other proofs of Tosa's position against Rashi. Right? He says, why? Why does our Mishnah not have to be like Rabbi Eliezer? Just say that our Mishnah was B'makom Shtar. Just say that the Mishnah was a case. Rabbi Eliezer could explain our Mishnah to Hilvo. He gave him a Mashkon, B'shat Alvoto, because that's the Lashon the Gemara says. But he had a Shtar. If he had a Shtar, even Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rashi, believes that a Shtar, B'shat Alvoto, is, right? Is what? Is Zichron Dvarim Ba'alma. And he would have been. Right, it would have been. I mean, repayment. I'm sorry. Ishtar is the zichron dvarim, and therefore the mashkon is prepayment. So if that's the case, you could have explained Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah according to Rashi. No problem. Just say there was a ishtar. Right? But we are making ukimta anyway, right? We're trying to make it ukimta in our Mishnah. So make it ukimta of ishtar, right? You could just say the case of the Mishnah, the case of ishtar. Rather than make it ukimta of peirot and other ukimta, that could be the simple solution.
So if
all mashkon, it could also be that he lent him with the shtar. It doesn't indicate
the difference between whether
you
lent
him with
the shtar or not.
Only Rashi says that, right? Meaning that Tosfos believes there is no difference, and that's what Tosfos says. There is nothing. What?
That there's a significant difference between shtar and not
lent
him with the shtar.
Right.
So if we were talking about a case, we lent him with the
shtar. I should have mentioned the word shtar. All right. It's
Tosfos. It's not proof. I'm saying, but to ask the kasha on Rashi like that, you know.
Thank you. So you're in defense of Rashi. Right, that, you'll say that, right, Rabbo said that, when I come up to heaven, that Rabchi will come out to greet me. So Rashi will come out to greet you when you get up there. It's one last thing in the little Tosfos here. This is Tosfos we saw together before in Gittin, and the Shita that Tosfos, which is that we're going to see tomorrow. We're going to deal a lot with Mashkon tomorrow. And the position of Rabbi Yitzchak. The position of Rabbi Yitzchak is that you, because you have to return Eluchat Tiyat Tzedakah, that you become the owner of the Mashkon. Now the pasuk of Rabbi Yitzchak is Mashma Dilval Mamal v'Chavero Mashkon Mashma B'Shat Halva'a. It's only a time of Halva'a, right? And then we have other places. Tosa says Mikani Leimit Rabbi Yitzchak, and we know that Rabbi Yitzchak only applies Shelo B'Shat Halva'ato. Right? So we see in other places the Gemara brings a proof from Rabbi Yitzchak that you're Kone Mashkon, and the Mishnah in that case uses the Lashon of Mavah Chavero Ala Mashkon. So our Gemara assumes and gives it a given that ala mashkon means b'shat halva'a. And they bring a proof from Rabbi Yitzchak that you own the mashkon. And Rabbi Yitzchak, clearly, the pasuk is talking about a case where it's shelo b'shat halva'a. So how can the Gemara make a claim that ala mashkon means b'shat halva'a? And yet they bring a proof from Rabbi Yitzchak, shelo b'shat halva'a. So Tosus makes a statement here, which makes in other places, which is very, it's in, if you want to look at it, it's in the second wide line, the widest lines of Tosus, second wide line. There it says, Yesh Lomar, Tekemish Shabalo Shabashat Halva'a, Kanile the Gamre Mid Rabbi Yitzchak, since you acquired entirely, Shalom B'Shat Halva'a, right, because of Rabbi Yitzchak, B'Shat Halva'a Nami Deleka Kinyan, even though B'Shat Halva'a, where there is no Kinyan, I mean that Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't apply, El Shibud Olim Shibudei, right, El Shibud Olim Shibudei L'Chashev, Elo Shalachicha B'Yadecha. That it gives you the fact, the indication that you become an owner, Shalom B'Shat Halva'a, tells us that B'Shat Halva'a is not a regular Shibud. It's not a regular Shibud, but it comes like a super Shibud. And that super Shibud gives you enough of an ownership that, like, for instance, Shemitah won't affect it. And other things won't affect it because that super Shibud is considered Lo Shelachicha B'Yachadecha, right?